And the last two words of that song have been chosen as the title of our summer series of messages that we begin today. I am. I am. For the next 8 weeks, we're going to talk about Jesus. For the next 8 weeks, we're going to learn about Him. For the next weeks, we're going to take time to turn our eyes upon Him, away from all the other stuff that's going on in our lives. We're going to turn our eyes on Jesus. And every week, before we do that, before the message, I'm going to have a song played to remind us of that and to prepare us to think about Jesus. And so right now, I'm going to have that played. And I invite you to listen to this short song and prepare your heart to focus on Jesus.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face.
Father, as we spend time this summer turning our eyes on Jesus, I pray that the things we learn about Him, the things that we're reminded of concerning our Savior and our Lord, would cause the stuff of this world to look very dim, very insignificant, compared to Jesus. Father, may You do a work in our lives through what we learn about Jesus. May we, after 8 weeks, be different because of what we learn about Him. In His name we pray. Amen. If you would take your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of John. Gospel of John. I'm sure you're aware that there are those who say that Jesus never claimed to be God. And whenever I hear that, I wonder if they've ever been in the Gospel of John. I wonder if they've ever read that part of Scripture. Because the Gospel of John is all about the deity of Jesus Christ. The truth that He is God, that He was God come in the flesh. And the Gospel of John is filled with claims by Jesus that He indeed was God. Turn with me to chapter 1 of John. The very beginning of John's gospel begins to set this forth. In verse 1 of John, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life. Now here John brings up the Word. And it's clear to see that he refers to the Word with personal pronouns. He, Him. So we know that John is referring to somebody as the Word. And he says, this somebody, the Word, was God. The Creator, the one who made everything, the one in whom there is life. If we read on and finally come to verse 14, as he continues to talk about this Word, this somebody, who was God, who created, who has life in Him, he says in verse 14, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. I would guess that many people who aren't even people who read the Bible a lot, or maybe people who aren't even that interested in the Bible, I would think that if they heard that verse, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, many people would say, wow, that sounds like Jesus. That sounds like something I've heard at Christmas. That's talking about Jesus. And they would be right. John is identifying who the Word is in John chapter 1. It's Jesus. And notice in the first verses, he says, the Word was God. And the Word created. And in the Word is life. So you could actually read the first two verses this way and be accurate. In the beginning was Jesus. And Jesus was with God. And Jesus was God. Jesus was with God in the beginning. And through Jesus, all things were made. Without Jesus, nothing was made that has been made. In Jesus was life. That's how the Gospel of John starts. Let's look at the end of it. Chapter 20. John chapter 20. We've had the resurrection at this point. John is getting ready to wrap up his gospel. And in John 20, verse 30, he says this, Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So at the end of the book, he says about Jesus that he is the Son of God, he is the Christ, he is the Anointed One, and in him is life. By believing in him, you have life. So John begins and ends with the idea that Jesus is God, the deity of Jesus Christ. And between chapter 1 and chapter 20, he presents all kinds of evidence. First of all, like he said, he presents signs, seven miraculous signs that Jesus performs. The intention of recording those, John says, is to prove to you, to show the reader, that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then he goes on, between chapter 1 and chapter 20, to record seven I am statements made by Jesus. And as we'll see this summer, starting today, every one of those I am statements pointed to deity. Every one of them was a claim by Jesus that he was God. And so, chapter 1 begins, Jesus is God. Chapter 20 ends, Jesus is the Christ, the one who gives life. And in between, all these evidences of that fact. Even the opposition understood that Jesus was claiming to be God. Take a look at chapter 5. John 5. Verse 18. It says, for this reason, the Jews tried all the harder to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself what? Equal with God. You see, even the opposition understood that Jesus was claiming to be God. If you go to chapter 10, starting in verse 30, Jesus makes this statement, I and the Father are one. Again, the Jews picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus said to them, I've shown you many great miracles from the Father. For which of these do you stone me? We're not stoning you for any of these, replied the Jews, but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, and here it is, this is the opposition, claim to be God. Isn't that interesting? Even the opposition understood that Jesus was claiming to be God. And we have people today who say, Jesus never claimed to be God. Each week this summer, we're going to look at one of those seven I Ams. These statements by Jesus that John records. And the pattern that we're going to follow as we do that every week, this will be the pattern. And this is easy for me. I don't have to come up with a new outline every week. It's going to be the same outline every week. But the pattern will be this. We'll look at one of the I Ams. First of all, we'll look at the declaration. We'll look at his statement that he spoke that began with the words, I am. We'll see what that declaration was about himself. We'll also look at the context in which it was spoken, because that's important. Then we'll move on to talk about deity. And we'll talk about how that I am, how that declaration Jesus makes, pointed to deity. How it was a claim to being God. And to do that, each week we'll be going back to the Old Testament. And we're going to find that there's a connection between every I am statement by Jesus and some teaching in the Old Testament about God. So that it will become clear to us that every time he made an I am statement, he was claiming to be God. He was taking something from the Old Testament that was taught about God and saying, this is true of me. So we'll look at the declaration, the I am, its context. We'll go to the Old Testament, see its connection with the Old Testament truth about God, so that we can see it was a claim to deity. And then we'll talk about daily living, because there is application here for us. Once we understand every one of these I ams and what it teaches us about Jesus, we need to ask ourselves, if I believe that, about Jesus. If that's true about Jesus, then how should that impact my life now on a daily basis? Okay, so that's the pattern we're going to follow every week. Look at the declaration, the I am, its context. Go to the Old Testament. See where the connection is with the truth about God, showing he was claiming to be God, and then talking about how we take this truth about Jesus and apply it to our daily living. Today I'm going to give you an example, a quick example of this. In John chapter 8, this isn't one of the seven that we're going to talk about. This, I would say, is the mother of them all, as far as the I ams. This is the all-encompassing I am that Jesus spoke. So it's a good one to start with before we look at the seven in later weeks. So John chapter 8, we're going to go right to the end of the chapter. Verse 58, look at the declaration. I tell you the truth, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. Before Abraham was born. Now, that was a long time before when Jesus is speaking here, right? But he's saying, before Abraham was even born, I am. Notice what comes next in verse 59. At this, upon hearing that declaration, they picked up stones to stone him. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to kill Jesus because of that statement. Before Abraham was born, I am. Why? Let's look at the context. In verse 31, we find out that he's having a conversation with Jews who had believed in him, or at least were excited about him and were following him and really getting into what he was doing and all the excitement. So he's having this conversation with Jewish people. And it's a conversation, if you read it on your own, and I encourage you to do that, it goes back and forth. But in the conversation, Jesus says at least three things about these Jewish people he's talking to that would be upsetting. First of all, in verse 34 and on, he pretty much tells them that they are slaves to sin, and in order to be free from sin, they need to believe in him. Further in the conversation, verse 47, 55, he says to these Jews, you don't belong to God. You don't even know God. And then, in verse 44, he says to these Jews, your father is the devil. Whoa. Your father is the devil, and you belong to the devil. Now, here's an interesting thing. After Jesus told these Jews that they were slaves to sin and needed him to free them, there were no stones to kill him. After he told them, you don't belong to God, you don't even know God, there were no stones to kill him. In fact, after he said to them, your father's the devil and you belong to him, there were no stones to kill him. When were there stones? When he said, before Abraham was born, I am. Then there were stones. And they wanted to kill him. Why? Well, let's look at the connection. Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. We go back to Moses. The Jews that Jesus is speaking with in John 8 would be familiar with this passage. They were taught it in the synagogue from an early age. They knew about this. It's the account of Moses at the burning bush. Out in the desert with his sheep. Sees a bush that's on fire, but it never burns up. He goes to check it out. And a voice comes from this bush that's burning. And the voice says, take your shoes off, this is holy ground. I don't know about you kids, but if I saw a bush burning and I heard a voice from the bush saying, take your shoes off, I'd take my shoes off. Right? And that's what Moses did. And he ends up having this conversation, it turns out, with God. God is speaking to him. And basically God is saying, I want you, Moses, to go back to Egypt, and you're the one that I choose to lead my people out of bondage. And we all know the story. We learned it in Sunday school. We also know that Moses tried to talk God out of this. He didn't want to go. He had all kinds of excuses. I just want you to see one of the things that took place in this conversation. Verse 13. Exodus 3:13. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, and in your Bible it's probably four capital letters, which comes from the same word translated I am, Yahweh, Jehovah. So he says, say to the Israelites, the I am, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. Now catch this. This is my name forever. What is? I am Yahweh, Jehovah. It's my name forever. The name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. God says to Moses, this is the name I want to be remembered by. Yahweh, I am. It means eternal, self-existing, no beginning, no end. I am Yahweh. God said to Moses, that's my name. Go back to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Remember, the Jews know about Moses. The Jews have learned about that burning bush experience. The Jews know that Yahweh, Jehovah, I am, is the most sacred name for God, the eternal one, the self-existing one. And here's Jesus, the son of a carpenter from Nazareth, who has just told them they're in bondage to sin and he can free them. He's just told them they don't belong to God. They don't know Him. He's just told them they belong to Satan because Satan's their father. And now He says, before Abraham was born, I am. Do you see why they took up stones to kill Him? He was claiming to be I am. He was claiming to be Yahweh. He was claiming to be Jehovah, the self-existent one. He was saying he was God. And they could handle being told they were in bondage to sin. They could handle being told they didn't know God. Even though it upset them, they could handle being told their father was the devil. But when this man claims to be the I am, God, using the most sacred name for God, they've got to kill Him. That's blasphemy. Because there's only one God. And it can't be this guy standing here in the flesh with us. And so they take up stones. And of course, we know He has a way of disappearing. And He went on to live another day. But do you see what Jesus is doing there? He's claiming to be God. He's claiming to be I am. You know, if I said something like that week after week, you probably wouldn't stone me, but I'd be gone. Maybe you'd even admit me somewhere. I don't know. But if I kept claiming to you that I'm God, that I came down in some spaceship from heaven, you know, God sent me here to tell you something. And not only did He send me, but I'm Him. You know, you'd think something's wrong. Well, put yourself in the place of those Jewish people. Here's this guy in the flesh from Nazareth claiming to be God. It was exciting when he was doing these miraculous things. It was exciting to follow him around and see all the things that were happening. But when he has the gall to claim that he's God, I am. That's it. That's it. He was claiming deity. And John claims and presents to us many of these things. Whether it's the miracles, whether it's these I ams, whether it's the accusations by the opposition who understood he was claiming to be God, or just statements that John himself, the writer, makes about him. But between chapter 1 and chapter 20, we have all kinds of references to the deity of Christ, that he was God come in the flesh. Turn with me to Colossians 1. How does that fit with our daily living? Remember, I'm giving you an example of the pattern we're going to use as we go through these I ams. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 15. If you glance above it, you'll find it's talking about Jesus. And he says in verse 15, Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Jesus all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by Jesus and for Jesus. Jesus is before all things, and in Jesus all things hold together. And Jesus is the head of the body, the church. Jesus is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything Jesus might have the supremacy. First place, all authority. How should Jesus claim to being the I am? His claim to existing before Abraham was even born, because he's God, he's always existed. How should that claim impact our daily life? Paul says it should lead us to giving Jesus supremacy, first place in everything. If he is God, if he is all the things that Paul says there, then it makes sense that we would, on a daily basis, in everything, in every part of our life, give him supremacy in first place. You see, there's no doubt that Jesus claimed to be God. If you read the Gospel of John, there is no doubt. Even the opposition understood that. He claimed to be God. If that's not true, if he wasn't God, if the skeptics are right when they say he never claimed to be God, because he never was God. He was something else. He was a good man sent from God. He was a good teacher. He was a prophet. If that's true, if he wasn't God like he claimed, then we're talking about probably the biggest scam in the history of this world. We know about scams, right? If Jesus was not God come in the flesh, and he made all these claims, the I ams and other times, to be God, then it was a scam, and we can shut the doors of this place and go to the land of the loon or Peter Mitchell, your choice. But there's no sense being here, right? What are we doing here? What are we singing about? What are we worshiping? What are we doing here? Wasting our time. If Jesus is not who he said he was, if it was a scam. But if he is who he said he was, if every I am was true, if the opposition was right in their understanding of his claims, if John, the writer, was right in things he said about Jesus' deity, then we should be here. We should be worshiping. These doors should be open all the time. We should be going out and shouting it from the rooftops. And we should be going out every day with Jesus supreme in our lives. First place in everything. How could we reject him if he truly is who he said he is? How could we take that risk to reject Him if what He said about Himself is true? And I believe it is. And many of you believe it is. If you believe it is, then take Paul's words seriously. He must have the supremacy in everything. Because before Abraham was born, I am. He was there. Because He was God. Always has been God. The God who by grace and such tremendous love was willing to come in the form of a man to this earth. The God who was willing to go to the cross and face His own judgment on our behalf. If His claims are true, and all the I ams we're going to talk about are true, He must have supremacy in everything. Well, that's how we're going to do it. Next week we'll start looking at the seven I ams, and we'll follow that pattern. The declaration, the context of it, when Jesus spoke it, we'll connect it with Old Testament and see how He was actually claiming to be God, saying something about Himself that the Old Testament presented about God. And we'll talk about how that matters in our daily living. I think it's going to be great. I think it could change some of us. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You, Father, that it's right here for us. And Lord, I pray that as we read it, as we study it, as we look at it, we would take it for what it says, including all these claims by Jesus to deity. Father, I pray that You would cause this study this summer to not only help us turn our eyes on Jesus, but as we learn about Jesus and who He is and what that means, that it would impact us. That it would impact us as a church family, but it would impact us as we go from here into the world. That because we believe these things that Jesus said, we will give Him supremacy in everything. That's our desire. Amen.
Would you stand and worship us? Worship with us again? Jumbling my words. Here in the spirit of Father's Day, we would end with good, good Father. Just the attributes of the great God we serve.